Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
If you hunt enough, you learn the truth. What you seek speaks a language and knows it well. That's why every Primo's call for everything you hunt is made the right way. We sweat every detail so you get more out of every hunt, and nothing leaves our hand until we know it'll work in yours. Because we don't just make the world's best calls, we speak the language. Primo's.
Unfortunately, you can't listen to this conversation.
Oh, this is not going to be for YouTube.
Oh, no?
No, this is about us quitting on this thing.
Okay.
I can't show you the conversation because Kay told me to turn the camera off. But we're going to talk about what she said when the camera was off. It had just been a few weeks since we packed up our entire life, drove cross-country to Alaska, and moved into the off-grid cabin. And already she was talking about leaving. Why? She was lied to. There's someone spreading a lie about off-grid life, and we're going to talk about it in this episode. You're going to want to listen because they might be telling you the same lie. Oh, and one other thing. We're going to tell you why we left the cabin. This episode of the Alaska Off-Grid Challenge is called Don't Believe Everything. Kay told me to turn the camera off, and I always respect that. Being a content creator, there are times you just got to shut it down. But I remember exactly what she said. She started by saying, Austin, you are the most amazing man. Your biceps remind me of the mountain ranges which surround us. And your mustache, oh, your mustache. Its majesty can compete with Mount Denali.
Well, that's not exactly what I said. I better help you narrate this one. Walking down that road with Austin, I asked him to turn the camera off because I wanted to seriously talk about leaving the cabin after we had barely just arrived. And it had nothing to do with the struggles we had already been through.
It's not like a nice place.
No, it's rough.
The bad weather.
It is 40 degrees, beautiful summer.
No, it had a lot more to do with being misled about this whole off-grid life we were now living. A much bigger storm was on the horizon. And I'm not even talking about the actual storm that was on the horizon.
Got it?
Look at this wind. Look at this. That's why my hair looks the way it does. It's the wind.
This is a funny decision we have to make. This tarp is protecting our whole outdoor kitchen and storage area from rain.
Hold on, this wind.
All right.
We're trying to leave it up to protect our outdoor kitchen so we can cook. But the wind's getting so bad, it'll do more harm than good up.
Time to
so
batten the hatch.
I guess that means we're abandoning cooking for now. That means all our outdoor cooking space is gonna be exposed to rain.
So we gotta put stuff away.
Storage, we gotta put stuff in the tiny house. It's annoying, but.
We had set up this outdoor kitchen space because all the kitchen appliances in the cabin, they were broken. There was a little off-grid refrigerator.
It was broke.
There was a sink.
Yeah, that leaked.
And there was even a little propane stove.
Yeah, that was broken too.
And those weren't the only things that were broken.
We showed up and supposedly there was an outhouse, functioning outhouse, and a working wood stove, which were both things we were excited about.
And both of those things turned out to not be working.
Yeah.
The outhouse is shot.
Full.
And
falling down.
The wood stove was shot. So right away we had to solve both those problems.
So yeah, a lot of the things that we thought were going to be working at the cabin were broken. But let me be clear. This is not the lie that we started off talking about in this episode. The owner of the cabin doesn't live at the cabin. It was actually closed up. It hadn't been used for a long time. And he thoroughly warned us about how rustic the cabin was. He even mentioned he wasn't sure which things would be working and which wouldn't. So when we arrived to find certain things not working well, it was just a chance for us to learn more about setting up all of our off-grid systems from scratch.
And you can't get much more from scratch than pooping in a bucket.
You may remember from our biggest fears about going off-grid video, I talked about being afraid of the element of pooping in the woods, pooping in a bucket. And I gotta say, this has been one of the biggest, like, oh, this isn't bad at all.
So yeah, this is our toilet setup.
We were expecting there to be an outhouse already at the cabin, and since there wasn't, we had to just make do quickly with the materials that we had on hand. And so what we had for an outhouse was pretty primitive, but it worked. It was a tarp wrapped around a couple trees, so you had privacy.
The tarp is a privacy screen. The front is open to the woods. It's actually under enough trees that even if it's raining, you don't get too wet.
We found some scrap lumber and we actually built a platform that you could really sit on.
Sit here on this nice platform that my dad, the carpenter, made with an actual toilet seat.
Which, because it is pretty much sweater weather all day and night here, the toilet seat's really cold. So I've been asking Austin all week to make me an insulated toilet seat.
Making an insulated toilet seat sounds fancy. It's not.
Make it sound really good, make you an insulated toilet seat. You just...
It took him a week to do it, though.
Cut a hole in a piece of insulation. Because there's a lot of other priorities.
How long did that take you, though?
Okay, it took me like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But look, I put a nice little smiley heart in it.
I didn't even see my little smiley heart.
There's a lot of love that went into the making of that toilet seat.
And guys, believe me, it makes a world of difference sitting down on that versus the cold toilet seat. So I honestly would skip the toilet seat insulated.
How dare you? So dumping the bucket is not a big deal. We have a pit, we dump the bucket.
The crazy thing is it fills up the bucket. One 5-gallon bucket.
Okay, hold on. Take a guess. How quickly do we fill a bucket?
So there's eight people. The baby doesn't use it though. So 7 people using it, a 5-gallon bucket. How long does it take to fill?
Three days.
I was gonna say two.
The best part about pooping in a bucket out here is the view. Look at this, ready? Imagine you gotta go and here, you come and you sit.
As the moose drives.
You're not gonna be there when they're pooping. Just give them a second to enjoy a quiet contemplation. ASMR pooping in the woods. Here we go, ready? Go.
Homesteady presents ASMR pooping in the woods. I want you to take a nice deep breath. And as you exhale, I want you to start to squeeze out a nice big...
For me, this has been honestly one of the pleasantest surprises of the whole trip. This has been really nice.
I'm totally gonna build us at our future homestead an outdoor outhouse with an open view.
Make 4 sides and have a door that you can open.
Okay.
So put it towards the view, but make sure the door shuts.
Maybe like one of those bar doors that have the top that opens but covers
the
bottom.
So no one can see you.
Hide your important business, but you can enjoy the beautiful, because it's really peaceful. You come out here.
This was the whole point in coming to Alaska. Pooping in a bucket.
No, it was to try firsthand living off-grid and learning about these different systems, because obviously pooping in a bucket is not that complicated. We could do that anywhere. But some things like solar power are more complicated.
And we know the off-grid space can be full of a lot of different opinions, some facts, maybe some fiction.
And we figured it would be really good to get some hands-on experience to try to sort through.
Instead of just believing whatever somebody wrote on the internet that might have been a lie.
I think everyone has their own definition of what off-grid means. Some people, for them it means no electricity, you're hauling buckets of water.
Definition I think that we have leaned into is like you're not on any public utilities.
You're not tied into the public utilities.
There's no tie to public. And here we are miles
Because there would be no utilities. way you could hook up to public utilities here.
We have been using solar, and we have our UPEZ system. And what we've been doing is we have our UPEZ solar generator, which is 2,400 watts.
That's been a really wonderful thing to have.
Yeah, we have had zero problem powering our life with that 2,400 watts. I've been able to run our computer. We've been able to charge our cameras and get video. There's not been a moment where we haven't, actually, because we're getting sun till like 2 a.m. with solar power, that thing has always been at 99%. So zero problem.
I was really surprised by how much I was enjoying learning about all these different off-grid systems. Life back on the grid is so different. So every day I was learning something new, hands-on, and it was a challenge, but it was so much fun.
I'm gonna be honest, I think the happiest individual here so far.
Who's been the happiest individual of our whole family?
It's kind of a trick question.
No, I know exactly who it is.
Who?
The dog.
The dog.
He loves Alaska.
It's cool. There's bunnies and chipmunks goes with us everywhere.
He's so happy. Yeah, he loves Alaska.
He loves Alaska.
Second to that.
You're pretty high up the happy list.
I'm really enjoying this.
So out of the 11 of us, so far two were really enjoying this. How about the rest of us?
All right, you've been living off-grid in Alaska. What are your first impressions?
Well, the first days it was really rainy, and that was pretty hard to get through. The rainy days are sad, and it's even sadder when my siblings just want to stay inside all day instead of going fishing.
What do you think about being off-grid in Alaska?
It's fine. I kind of like it. I don't like when it's rainy weather, then we can't play outside.
Me too.
The bugs. I'm a bug magnet.
There. Right there. Here, there's a couple on my face.
We can't just like get water, we have to go outside to get it. So like it's pouring or raining, we have to go in the rain to get water.
What do you like about cabin life off-grid?
Well, there's one not nice part about it because it's really small and we always want to play somewhere, but like everybody like, oh, there's a chair there, oh, there's a guitar there, oh, the cushion is wide over here, there's a box of clothes, and we only have a puny living room in a very small upstairs because we have to fit all the ginormous mattresses and all the beds. So the cabin's fine.
It was kind of a mixed bag. Some of us were having fun. The kids, not so much. Well, except this guy.
Do you like off-grid Alaska?
Yeah.
How come?
Cause it's great. We had a lot of fun. Off-grid, and we have fun playing outside.
What has been your favorite part about off-grid Alaska?
The mountain.
The mountains?
Yeah.
He's not wrong. The mountains in Alaska, they are amazing. Of the 20 highest peaks in the United States, 17 of them can be found in Alaska. It's funny because the mountains, they can be a lot like off-grid life. From far away, in somebody's Instagram picture, they look beautiful, peaceful, serene. But while we were in Alaska, we actually hiked a couple mountain trails.
Can you say cheese?
When you're actually there on the trail with the kids, it looks a lot different than it does on Instagram. The baby's crying, you forgot the snack pack, somebody lost a boot somewhere. It doesn't take very long to start asking yourself, what was I thinking?
And I was finding off-grid life to be a lot like those mountain hikes. Something that looked so beautiful and peaceful and serene on somebody else's snapshot. Up close, while I was going through it,
it
all was starting to feel really different.
Yeah.
All right.
Everything is harder here. Everything. Doing dishes is harder. Cooking is harder. Making sure all the kids are comfortable is harder, which just means there is not a moment to rest. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling well, felt sick. And I wanted to crawl into bed, but the bed's the couch in the middle of the cabin, so I had to make the bed, and then kids were sitting on me, and then the cleanup, making sure everything gets put inside, the towels brought inside because it's gonna rain, all while feeling sick. So that is so hard. It's hard to see the kids be uncomfortable with the bugs.
The bugs
it is
suck.
A really hard, hard cabin and hard. There are hard, lots of hard days right now. It's not to say it's awful every single day and every single moment, but I feel like for me, it's more hard and unpleasant now than enjoyable. Is that positive enough?
I actually was trying hard to put on a positive spin.
So the cabin's fine.
But more and more, I could feel that I did not want to be here. I was ready to leave this cabin because it turns out I had fallen for a bait and switch. And I realized this doing laundry. Believe it or not, I was actually excited to try doing the laundry for my family off-grid by hand.
Should have taken a before and after picture.
I had even went on to Amazon and ordered a hand-washing plunger so I would be prepared to do this. It never came. I don't know whatever happened to it, so I bought a couple of scrub brushes, and we had a pot.
Oh.
Hey, can you put the water on for me? So I'm going to soak these a little bit, get the sand and everything off. And then see how we do washing by hand. So I'm going to let this soak for a little bit. I've got so much sand on it. I'll probably soak this a couple times. I've got the detergent in there.
Of course, keeping house involved more than just doing the laundry. I was always trying to do a couple of things at once. And on this particular day, it meant juggling the laundry with cooking dinner.
We did a lot today. So I'm a little behind. I'm just trying to throw some together really quick. Fried potatoes. And some chicken.
What's it like having to cook outside for every meal?
As long as the weather's nice, which actually it turned nice, it was raining, but now it's switched over. I don't mind it. It's just inconvenient.
So let's take all these little twigs, break them, and pile them on top just like this so they're in a nice big pile. That's perfect. Is that what you
made? Cooking and laundry were a lot of work off-grid, so was cleaning, especially in a tiny cabin. That meant we tried to eat as many meals as we could outside. Of course, it was pretty cold, as we've talked about extensively. So for each meal, we would try to get the kids together and light a fire so we could sit around the fire outside, keeping the mess down and the temperature up.
Mommy, look at the fire.
Wow, that was fast lighting.
The fire was burning good and dinner was all done, so we sat around, we ate dinner as a family, and afterward, the kids decided they wanted to make s'mores.
Austin oversaw the s'mores while I was still doing chores.
All right, that's our sandy pot. Now I'm gonna rinse. I washed, kind of scrubbed her clothes, got all the sand off. One of those moments where you think, isn't it easier to just have a washing machine? Then I could be out making s'mores too. I think there's a reason people who grew up with this way of life really embrace more modern conveniences. So what are we looking for? Right? What are we looking for that we, a lot of us, this is the life we want to go back to?
Preparing for life in off-grid Alaska, I had this image in my head about what laundry day was going to look like. It was going to look like something out of Little House on the Prairie. I would get all the kids together. We'd stand around the wash basins. We'd be scrubbing clothes clean from all the dirt that we've got on them after playing in the woods together. And I would be telling them stories about my childhood, and we'd laugh, and we'd get our chores done together around the basin and growing closer as a family. Yeah, I know, right? This is not what happened. Why did I think that washing clothes by hand would be better than using a washing machine? An invention that's considered by some to be the greatest invention of the entire Industrial Revolution for how it liberated women. I guess for me, it started with the Little House books. Laura Ingalls Wilder's books were my favorite series to read when I was 6 years old. How she described life on the homestead, it had such a powerful influence over me, and it made me want to have that life. I had been dreaming of this simple homestead prairie life, and now decades later, as a mother and a wife, I'd taken my whole family off-grid to Alaska to try to experience this. And it turns out I'm not alone. A lot of people are inspired right off the grid.
Our neighbor, John, the guy who wrote The Practical Guide to Off-Grid Living in Alaska, he told us that back in his day, everyone came to Alaska because of Dick.
Yeah, back at that time, everybody wants to be Dick Prenicky. And good Lord, does that make it look appealing.
Alone in the Wilderness. That was the name of the documentary.
It was good to be back in the wilderness again. I was alone, just me and the animals.
It shared the story of Dick Prenicky, a man who decided to retire early, head to the mountains of Alaska to build a cabin, and film himself doing it. Which makes him, I think, technically the very first Alaska off-grid YouTuber. Unfortunately, it was the 1960s, and he was using a film camera. So his only chance of going viral is if he drank the water without boiling it. I know, that would be bacterial. It's just a joke, guys. I'm a dad. I had to make it.
I watched that in like somebody's basement and he's like, oh, you're gonna love this. This is a great like documentary. I'm like, like this already sounds suspicious. Like it's not often you meet some random stranger who's super excited about a documentary that they like, you have to sit down and watch this.
You have to see this documentary.
Yeah. And it was. Wow, this is amazing. This is really cool.
Folks say that axemanship is a lost art. But I like to think I've found it again in these cool spruce woods.
Although Dick filmed all his footage in the 1960s, it was edited and released as a documentary in 2004. And it kind of sparked all the Alaska off-grid content that we have today, because shortly thereafter, a lot of the Alaska reality TV shows started popping up.
Life Below Zero. New season starts Thursday.
On the brand new season of Alaskan Bush People.
The new series of Building Alaska.
This season on Alaska, the Last Frontier.
Over 20 years, me and my best friend Bart have been walking on ice. Literally. It's cold and it's dangerous.
Okay, Ice Guys is a Joel Haver joke. It's pretty funny. But when it comes to reality TV, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between what is reality and what is a joke. John explained.
I'll tell you one thing. One reality show that I've seen 1.5 episodes of is the Kilcher one.
Now, on an all-new season of Alaska, The Last Frontier.
Here goes!
And it's funny, like, actually one of them, Jane, I used to work with her, and I didn't even know that, like, she has, like, fan clubs and stuff. Like, I didn't know that she's, like, famous. I did watch, like, an episode and a half of that show, and it was this whole like, oh, we've got to go out and ice fish on Caribou Lake.
And it's always the time when you run out of fish, and it's what we predominantly eat, so it's a big deal.
So I'm really hoping to go home with some trout and barbecue.
It was this whole like, oh, we've got to go out and ice fish on Caribou Lake because we need winter food. And it's just like, well, you can just drive 9 miles on a maintained road west to Safeway, or you can snow machine 15 miles out across open country most half of the way and get a couple of fish through the ice where you spend far more in gas than you get from the fish.
Right.
Where it's like, you should have just gone to Safeway.
Austin, I really need to catch a lot of fish on this trip. And if we don't get a lot of fish on this trip, it would not be good in the wintertime at all.
They still must race the clock to ensure that they have the meat they need to survive the winter. Eve is counting on this protein to feed her growing family throughout the winter.
And now their family will have food for the winter. That's a joke I heard a lot of Alaskans make, kind of riffing on the fact that reality TV doesn't really show the reality, which is Alaskans. They're just like us. They go to the grocery store. A lot of people like to pick on reality TV for doing this. But honestly, it's not just reality TV who edits this stuff out.
Again, back to the example of Dick Prenicky. Like, he had plane deliveries all the time,
right?
And you don't really see that in the documentary. And like,
for the most part, editing these stories can seem pretty harmless, right? They're not showing you deliveries that Dick got on a plane. They're not showing you the Kilchers going to the grocery store. It's like an outhouse. The stuff it's not showing you, nobody wants to see it anyway. But just take a moment, step into an off-grid outhouse, take a deep breath, and you'll know. Just because you can't see the stuff that stinks doesn't mean it's not there. And this is how people get into trouble. When they get inspired, they head off to live a life like they saw on the TV, forgetting the stuff that stinks.
Everybody thinks they're going to come live off the land, which can add more stress when you find out it's not what it was portrayed to be.
That's not the reality.
That's not the reality, right?
Even if you saw it in reality TV.
Right. So often it's people that they don't really desire what's here, if that makes sense. They desire some mythical ideal related to it, but that's not what's actually here, if you know what I mean.
I so know what you mean.
We knew exactly what John meant. He called it mythical. The definition of that word, mythical, idealized, especially with reference to the past. Alaskan reality TV definitely idealizes the Alaska off-grid life. But it's not just reality TV.
The Little House series is based on Laura's life, but it is considered historical fiction because some things are embellished and some things are taken out completely.
The PBS special about Dick Prenicky, it's called Alone in the Wilderness. But Dick wasn't alone. He was getting regular shipments from planes, spending time in native communities. These stories that inspire us, these stories that were told, they don't include all of the facts. I think Laura Ingalls herself says it best. She's famously quoted as saying, "All I have told is true, but it is not the whole truth." And so that brings us to this uncomfortable question.
Are they lying? No. These stories are exciting and inspirational, and it's their right to share whatever part of their life that they want to with us. I'm so glad they do. So, who lied to me? Well, I'm gonna quote a modern day poet here and say, "It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. I'm the problem, it's me. I had lied to myself. I took inspiration from Little House books and things I read and things I heard, and I had built this reality that off-grid life would make everything better. I thought it would make me a better version of myself. I would be a better mom, a better wife, a better homekeeper, because I would be off-grid and it would be an adventure and I would enjoy it. But it turns out, usually the opposite happens."
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The struggles bring out somebody's true nature that maybe they've been hiding for a long time. It might, you know, and we've seen it bring out alcoholism in neighbors and things like that, or things that like they try, but they get pushed beyond their limit, and then once it starts to spiral in that direction, it's very difficult to come back from.
I didn't realize it at the time, but this spiral was just beginning for me.
Okay, so everything. All our systems, everything we're used to doing is different. Today was the first morning I actually made coffee, and I have zero idea how good this is gonna be.
I'm gonna cheers.
It's really good.
I was not expecting that.
Where's
your coffee? Are you done?
No, I still have it.
Nice. We've been so busy. Like settling in and setting up our cabin and, you know, moving in and getting things set up and working and setting up our kitchen outdoors and our water system. We've not yet had our morning coffee.
How's yours?
Cold. Is it decaf?
It's decaf.
Oh, dang it. Do you think it's like what you said? It's your same life, but harder and more uncomfortable. It feels like scarily accurate. My life is so different every day.
It was true. Coming to Alaska to live off-grid, my life was so different. I was learning about solar power, how to run our life in this cabin just from the sun's rays. I was busy trying to set up a perimeter fence to keep the bears away. And as you know, our family would need food to survive the winter. So of course, we went salmon fishing.
Look at them jumping out there. Ooh, look at all them in the water right in front of me. Look at how many fish are in there swimming. Oh man, look at them. I can see like three or four right there. I got a fish.
These waters were full of salmon. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen anything like it. We didn't catch any salmon yet, but I knew it was only a matter of time. As a father, as a protector, as a provider, every day I was getting more and more confident, learning more, little bit by little bit becoming this hardcore off-grid Alaskan dad. But for Kay, the Alaska Off-Grid Challenge was the complete opposite. And I was starting to worry about her.
Like, what, is there anything we can do? My life is so different every day, but yours is very similar.
Well, I guess my struggles here are the same as they are at home. It's keeping everything clean, except it's harder to keep it all clean. Keeping it all organized, except it's harder to keep it all organized. Feeding everybody, which is harder to do.
It's much harder.
Laundry, which is harder to do.
Everything's harder.
So yeah, it's just, it's a different experience. We're still doing stuff together. You are actually helping out more than you do at home, which is nice.
So it's just harder work in a different place.
I love being a mom and a wife, but my biggest struggle has always been dealing with the day-to-day monotony of what I have to do. So the everyday dishes, the everyday laundry, the everyday constant cleaning up of a house that's just going to get messy again. I thought running to Alaska, an adventure off-grid, would change this. But I was running away from something that I couldn't actually run away from.
Sometimes, quite literally, we have had people that are running from, are you running from something, or are you running from something that you're afraid of or want to avoid, or are you running towards something that you desire?
Which brings us back to where we started with this episode. Austin and I walking down the dirt road. I was talking about quitting.
Oh, this is not going to be for YouTube.
Oh, no?
No, this is about us quitting on this thing.
Okay.
So there I was, feeling disappointed that all of my little house, cabin, last frontier dreams weren't coming true. And even when laundry and washing dishes were harder, I still didn't like doing them. In that moment, I just wasn't in the mood to see the good. So I went back to the cabin to feel sorry for myself. So Austin held down the fort for an hour or so until the sun finally came back out, and I decided I wanted to finish the walk that we had started earlier.
This was a path that was always full of surprises.
We would see bear prints or moose tracks.
What do we got?
Bear tracks.
Bear tracks.
We keep going on this walk, and it takes us to an overlook.
We saw something that we had actually never seen. We'd been in Alaska for 2 weeks, and yet, out in the horizon with the clouds clearing, for the very first time, we saw a beautiful snow-capped volcano. For the first 2 weeks in Alaska, the sky had been so gray, we never realized there was this gorgeous mountain view right outside our door.
My disappointments were a lot like those gray clouds, blocking an amazing mountain view. I was so discouraged when off-grid Alaska wasn't perfect that I couldn't see the amazing things right in front of me. I had made this dream of someone else's story, and I was so busy chasing that I was missing out on my reality, which when I finally looked up and pushed aside the disappointment and saw it, it was incredible.
The reality is, I don't even know, I should have thought of this ahead of time. The reality is that it's great in a lot of ways that you might not expect.
Living off-grid in Alaska had thrown a lot at us that we didn't expect. We didn't expect life in the tiny cabin to be so hard. We didn't expect the weather to be so bad. We didn't expect most of the things we'd experience these first 2 weeks. But we also didn't expect a guy who literally wrote a book about living off-grid to be one of our neighbors. Who else was around us? Who else could we learn from?
When you go to a place where people have been living successfully for decades, they've been living there successfully for decades, and everything they do, this is especially true if you go to like a native village where they've been doing it for literally thousands of years, everything they do has been refined over all that time. There's a reason people do things the way that they do them. And it's because they probably tried a lot of things that didn't work, and that's the natural process. They refine, they throw out what doesn't work, they keep what does. And so when you come to a place where there are established ways of doing things, you want to ask people about those ways. You don't want to just try that thing that you saw on Pinterest. Yes. That maybe worked for somebody in Missouri or maybe worked for somebody in Texas and it was cute as hell, but it's not going to work here. So I would say ease into it. Move to the community first. Make friends. Learn skills. Find out who the old timers are.
We knew now what we needed to do. We needed to find our own community. And so we did.
You can take all the advice you want from someone living in a different state, but when it comes down to it, someone who's right in your local area really will have the best knowledge. So I learned a ton from those guys.
Is it confidence? Is it stupidness? Is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, for sure both, yeah. Yeah, you know.
We started getting invitations from others in the off-grid community to come and see their setups.
Come on over to Tinyland. You can see, walk through, the space here so you can see what this feels like.
We could learn from them. These people wanted to help us.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
No, and when I think of that, I'm like, I could be legit if I wash my laundry by hand.
Yeah.
And it makes me like break out in a cold sweat. I don't even like laundry in a washing machine. I am really not gonna like it in a bucket.
They wanted to share their mistakes and their successes, their experience, even their fishing spots.
Nice job. How about that first Alaskan rainbow?
It started with a tent.
Yeah. People go camping and they're willing to give up like 90% of everything for a week or 2 weeks. And my thought is like, well, what if I could do that for a year and then like save $1 million?
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
There's just one problem. Alaska, it's a big place. So to learn from these experts, get better at off-grid living ourselves, and hopefully catch a couple salmon, we needed to pack up our stuff and go to a different cabin in a different part of Alaska. But don't you worry, because of course, this cabin too was off-grid.
What's that?
An outhouse.
The outhouse. Yes,
he sounded so happy that there was actually an outhouse.
It's a miracle!
Ooh, mosquito net. Great idea.
Heavens.
Coming up in the rest of the Alaska Off-Grid series, we travel all throughout Alaska, staying in multiple off-grid cabins, learning more about off-grid setups and systems.
Oh! Daddy dog!
And that was so cold, and this is so nice. But more importantly, learning from the experts who have been living this lifestyle.
To answer the question of not how we can go off-grid, but even what became a more overwhelming concern, did we even want to be off-grid?
If I don't have water plumbed in my cabin, I'm gonna have a better life. If I don't have laundry in my cabin, I'm not gonna have a better life. This is all things I thought. And I don't think that's true anymore.